If God hasn't been good to you, you better
sit on down on your feet.
But if God has been good to you, you better
stand up on your feet. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, shout hallelujah, God's been good to me.
If God hasn't been good to you, you better
sit on down on your feet.
But if God has been good to you, you better
stand up on your feet.
Beautifully warm Sunday morning in upstate New York. Thank you. If you are a guest, we want to say welcome. We would love to actually get to meet you over here on this side of the building after service. We do have a guest reception room, a connect room, where we have snacks and coffee, and we have some great people in the church who want to get to know you so we can hang out later. Welcome online people. It's great to see you. Put a comment in the chat there to say you're here. Also, if you are between the ages of 18 and 30, tonight is Awaken. It's going to be really great. The people who run it, I personally like a lot. My brother paid me to say that. It's a lot of fun. But if you're between the ages of 18 and 30, come hang out with us tonight right here in the Transformers Room, which is on this side of the building. There's always food and snacks and other fun things. So, I mean, hey, guys, you can't go wrong with food and snacks. There's also childcare. We can watch your kids so you can have fun. We also have Discover Class, which is a four-week class held every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. It'll help you discover more about yourself and the church. That's also held in the Connect Room. If you want more information on that, you can go to the Welcome Center out in the back, out in the foyer, and they'll give you some more. Also, next Sunday, baptisms are happening, both services. I love this Sunday. It's one of my favorite Sundays we do quarterly. If you would like to get baptized and you are not signed up yet, again, the middle desk out in the foyer, you can talk to the ladies who are back there. They'll get you signed up, and next week, we'll get you baptized. And now, I hand it over to you, Pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I got a great testimony for you. 37 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ last month. Isn't that awesome? Come on, don't let the angels outshout you. Come on now. Hallelujah. God, thank you. Thank you for people being changed by your blood. Hallelujah. Well, I know Pastor Ron is right here. She would say, good morning. I want you to know that it's sad that Pastor Rhonda is gone, but she's not sad. So you got to make a decision in your heart. Amen? Now, we all mourn in different manners, but the fact is that Pastor Rhonda is not here, but Pastor Rhonda is with Jesus. And I just want you to know she loves Jesus more than you and me, which I don't know if it's fair. I mean, I was kind of hoping that she'd love me a little bit more, but no. She loves Jesus with all that she has, and right now, listen, she's enjoying herself. She's enjoying the presence of the Lord. I've done a lot of studying. It's not that she doesn't think about us, but she's not thinking about us. She's expecting us. Amen? So, listen, the rapture can happen today. I said the rapture can happen today. That means we could all be with her and everybody else that's passed on. Bravo Gomumis up north in the north country. Amen. So a lot of people are asking me, Pastor, are you sad? Absolutely. Are you mourning? Absolutely. I'm a good crier in the mornings. My children, I love them. My son Chad and his family actually said, we'd like to move in with you. We don't want you to be alone. And I said, no. I am a very ugly crier, and I want to ugly cry alone. So I'm just so blessed by you, my family is. We are honored to be your pastors, and we are honored to be in this house. You are truly a loving people, and I thank you that you're not giving us hugs because there's not enough water in my body. But I want to say thank you, and I know if Pastor Rhonda was here, she would say the exact same thing. You genuinely love, and that's what this house is known for. We genuinely love people. It is not a religious organization. So we love you. I want to remind you, February 18th at 6 p.m., we are going to be having a memorial service for Pastor Rhonda right here. There are people all over the United States already buying plane tickets, renting hotels. You're not going to want to be late that night. I believe there'll be 800 to 1,000 folks in the house. Teddy Jr. is going to be leading the worship with our worship team. Amen. Bishop Rick and Pastor Kathy will be here with us from Margate, Florida. They're our bishop. And then Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Sr. will be here as well. You do not want to miss it. It is going to be an amazing, amazing celebration. Here's the rules. You got to dress bright. We don't do black. You're going to dress as bright as you can on that night. Because Pastor Rhonda, you know, she always wore those bright clothes. Amen. I think Corinne's got one of her shirts she's going to wear. You don't want to miss it. And it's going to be a great time of celebration of life. Why? Because she's not dead. She just put on different clothes. Amen. My dear bride has actually relocated. She's moved to the North Country. Amen. So we are going to miss her. Yes. We do love her. Yes, but life moves on. And we're not moving to move. We're moving to win more souls for Jesus. I do want to say one more thing. And I know I'm talking a little bit long. We might need to cut a song or something. But we were able to find two, she wrote two, I don't know how to explain them, Corinne. How do we say it? Two letters to you. Two letters to you. We'll be reading them on the night of the celebration. So you don't want to miss it. Seriously, you don't want to miss it. I believe this place is going to have 800 to 1,000 folks. We don't have room for 1,000. So we're going to be doing overflow rooms. So if you want a spot, you better get here early. And as we know, the parking's going to be a challenge. Amen? So don't hit anybody in the parking lot. Amen. And we're going to celebrate. Where's Pastor Rhonda right now? She's worshiping her Savior. If you know, she always sat right over there. She either sat, raised her hands, laid down on her face. She's doing that right now. So while she's worshiping there, we're worshiping here. The Savior's hearing right here. So let's join her this morning with do not be reserved. Let's practice for heaven right now. Amen. Let's worship Jesus together.
If God deacons, raise your hands. Tell him how good he is. Tell him how much you love him. Go ahead and magnify him on your own for a little bit. We worship you in this place.
Thank you.
There's no one like you, Jesus. We praise your name, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. Take my praise, take my praise, take my praise, Lord. You're so worthy, Jesus. And all the earth will shout your praise. He is to you, how he is your greatest treasure, your most important and best friend in life. Come on, pour out your praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on now. Jesus is here. We worship you. There is none like you, Jesus. We're honored to be able to stand here before you, Father. We're honored to be in your house. We're honored to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. Where would we be without you? Oh, God. The angels cry, holy, holy, holy. But God, your people have been created in your image, and we get to do even greater. Lord, we love you. God is healing someone's right ankle. On the inside of the ankle is a bone problem. It almost feels like it's broken, like it's been busted, and you have constant pain on the right ankle on the inside. Jesus is healing your ankle right now. Start moving around. You're going to find that the pain will disappear. There's another individual you're having problem with your nerves in your face. Now, I don't know what that means. My head says up above the eyebrows, but I'm just guessing. I just know this. He said, somebody's having nerve pain in your face, and there's nothing that can be done. Jesus is releasing the healing power right now into your body and setting you free in Jesus' name. Somebody else has either broken the left ribs or bruised them terribly, and you're in pain on a consistent basis, and you're just wondering if you're going to get healthy. Jesus is touching you right now, right where you're at. Get ready. Get ready. In Jesus' name. Now, God, if there's anybody in this room that does not know you as Savior, Holy Spirit, start drawing them right now. Let them feel the pull of heaven in their heart. Come on, that right ankle. Come on, I don't know. You better start moving that thing. I'm not here to keep your pain, so you better get rid of it right now. You got to move in faith and start moving that around in Jesus' name. Working a miracle. God, you are faithful and you are just. And the just shall live by faith. We trust you, God. We don't always understand things, but we trust you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Father, you are trustworthy, and we honor you this morning with our lives. We lay him back down on the altar as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service in Jesus' name. God is healing someone's gallbladder right now in Jesus' name. I command you to be whole in the name of Jesus. Whew. Faithful Savior, thank you for being in this place. Thank you for being in this room. God, we don't ever want to take advantage of it. We don't ever want to forget how blessed we are as Gentiles to be able to be in the tangible presence of heaven. And today we honor you with our love. Someone's having a problem with your jaw, both sides pinned on the, it's right in the middle. I want to say TMJ in Jesus' name. I command right now peace to come to you. TMJ is not your issue. The issue is that you're grinding at night and it's because you're stressed. I release the peace of God in your life in Jesus' name. Peace, peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We just love you, Jesus. Love being where you are, and we honor you. Well, that's a strange one, God. Right index finger, it's like a burning just above your knuckle. That's weird to me, but that must be weird to you too. So, Father, release healing into the knuckle and above that in the index finger of the right hand in the name of Jesus. Restore it in Jesus' name. We love you. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Savior, we love you. Savior, we love you. Bless your name. Bless your name. In your presence is fullness of joy. Thank you. Refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. Refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. Refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. Amen. Isn't God good? Can you sense him or is it just me? If you can't down there, then you might want to crowd up on top of this. This is really good. One thing I've found is I've had some people ask me, Pastor, you look like you're always happy. Are you faking things? No. No, I'm not faking at all. Well, how can you be smiling when your wife just died? Well, it's easy because we don't mourn the same way the sinners mourn. We don't mourn the same way the sinners mourn. When you mourn for a sinner, man, they're gone. You're never going to see them again. I mean, for me, how it's not fake is the more I'm in his presence, the more I'm where she is anyways. And the more you're in his presence, the more he refreshes you. That's where the renewing comes. You know, sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, I hate two services. I think they suck. The reason I hate two services is because I can't just relax in first service. I got to keep things moving. Well, why? Well, because we got a whole group of people coming in for second service. Well, one day we're going to build a sanctuary large enough, amen, that we can have one service. Amen. Just want to have, so we can just, if I want to go 3 hours, I'll go 3 hours. And we'll have Isaiah shout, take your time, Pastor. Amen. Why don't you do me a favor? Nah, we can't. We don't have time. Yeah, all right. Take 3 minutes. 3 minutes and go meet somebody you don't know. Shake their hand. Now, listen, they still might be COVID concerned. If they are, don't breach them. Just respect them. But if they're not, shake their hand. Tell them, I love you. Praise the Lord. Amen, family. You may be seated. For all of us over 50 years old, anybody here over 50? We have breakfast this coming Wednesday morning at Curly's at 9 a.m. Come ready to devour. My sister's old enough to be there. Well, if I am, she is, because she's, what, 10 years older than I am. Amen. If I can't pick on my wife, I'm picking on my sister, so get used to it. Amen. So make sure this Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. you're at Curly's. We're going to have a great time. We sit around, fellowship, laugh, joke, and eat. But you got to be 50 years old or older. Amen. Let's welcome Minister McKenzie.
Someone put a note up here with a donut and a deer on it for Pastor, so he would pay attention to it. Praise God. Give me grace and mercy this morning. I have a mean case of pregnancy brain, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. It's so bad. No, actually, I was up all night because me and my husband felt the baby kick for the first time, and I freaked out. No, it was so cool, but then I was up all night, like, just pressing my stomach, like, trying to feel it. It was like every hour he was just like, and I was like, oh my God. No, it was the baby. It was the baby. Good morning, everybody. So today's tithes and offerings message, I pray is good. I think it's good. So the word of God says in Proverbs 11:24 that one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. So basically, it's saying, paraphrasing it, that people who tend to hang on to things out of desperation and fear, they end up needing and wanting more anyway. But people who freely give, the Lord ends up giving it to them freely. And I realized that not everybody who chooses not to tithe, it's not like they don't tithe because they're bad people or because they're mean. It might be because they're fearful. You might be fearful because, oh, I might not be able to pay for groceries next week, or I have this huge NYSEG bill because it's January, or February now. See, pregnancy brain. And NYSEG loves January and February for those reasons. NYSEG loves January and February. So it can be a very fearful thing, stepping into tithes and offerings. And even doing it consistently can be very fearful. But the word says that perfect love casts out all fear. The word says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. So where it says here, another withholds what he should give, should could be the tithe, we should tithe, and suffers only want. But in Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another version says, I have everything that I need. So if we're allowing the Lord to shepherd us, there's no reason to be fearful to give. I know a lot of us, actually, a lot of people have hearts like, oh, I want to sponsor somebody's mission one day, or I want to pay for someone's college, I want to pay for someone's car one day, but I'm so afraid to even take that first step because of my own need. But the Lord says, if I'm your shepherd, you won't want for anything. So if it's his pleasure seeing you prosper, then he's going to give you the instructions on how to get there. He's a good shepherd. He doesn't want to take from you. He doesn't want to see you lacking throughout the week and struggling to feed your kids and paying your car payment. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. So he's going to give you those good instructions on how to get there. And the Lord says, test me in this. That's the only place where he says, you can hold me to this, because he knows that money is a source for us, and it's very precious to some of us, and it's scary for some of us. So if you want to get to that place where you can be a blessing to other people, because that's what the word says, we're blessed to be a blessing, that we're supposed to have so much running over that we can meet other people's needs. So that's what the word says, and I know a lot of us have that desire, but we have to take that first step. That first step, you don't have to write a $1 million check. If you do, praise God, make sure you have it in there. You know, don't let it bounce. It's kind of awkward. But take that first step in being faithful with your tithes and offerings, because he does not want you to be fearful in giving. And the more that you do tithe and the more consistent you are, the more he shows up and shows himself to be consistent, and the less fearful you will be. Then one day you can get to the place where you can write that $1,000 check for that kid, or completely redo somebody else's wardrobe just because you want to bless somebody. But we've got to cast off that fear, and we've got to get consistent with tithing. And everyone has to take that first step. You're not the only one. Okay, a lot of people here, myself included, we've all had to start somewhere. We've had to start from the bottom. And that can be a scary first step. But the word says that if you're diligent in little, he'll make you ruler over much. Okay, he's not a liar. God cannot lie. Amen. He really can't. And he wants you to test him in this. He's kind of baiting you. I kind of like that. Like, test me. Come on. Have you ever, like, done something and your mom was like, test me? Well, he's not doing it like that. He's not like, he's not doing it like that, but it's the same principle. He's saying, test me in this and watch me provide for you. He takes pleasure. He doesn't take pleasure in seeing you fearful to give, because he knows all that he has that he wants to give you. So if you're ready to take that first step and overcome that fear, I want you to stand up, and we're going to say our supernatural declaration, because it's the word and it's great. Ready? If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. One more time, I'm blessed. Awesome. You can bring your tithes and offering right up to the front. If you're watching with us on live stream, thank you so much for joining us. You can text to give. That's the easiest way I find to do it. It's 84321, and then you type in the dollar amount. Don't put any decimals or anything. Just type in the dollar, like 25, 50, 100, whatever you want to give. And yeah, it's as easy as that. You can also go online to histabernacle.com, or if you're in-house, you can pay with an envelope. Thank you so much.
We want to welcome Pastor McConnell's beautiful bride in the house this morning. We love you. Love you. Glad you are here. Honored to have you in the house. Every year we have a theme. If you haven't been here this year, this is the theme. Ready? This is the year that we are. I can't hear you. We are. We are built different. We are from a different family. We have a different father. We have a different set of laws. We have a different lifestyle. We have more power. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And we have a different purpose from everybody else that's on this planet. Amen. Our verse for the year is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and it says this. So then you are no longer strangers. Turn to someone and say, you know, you might be strange, but you're not a stranger. We are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and a member of the household of God. This is exciting because that means you are part of something much larger than we have here on this planet. We're part of the house of Father God. That is so powerful when you start to lay hold of that, and that's what this year is all about. So many people look at church as going to a religious organization. I'm going to the church building this morning, but we want to have a transition this year. Let me tell you what the theme is, not only built different, but what does that mean? In our spirit, we knew, and in my spirit, when God spoke to me, the theme for 2022, who would ever thunk it? We all thought we were dead in 1984. 84 reasons is Jesus is coming in 84. Then 1987, Jesus, 87 reasons Jesus is coming in 1987. And then 2000. Come on now. But we're watching as we're watching prophetically, things steam quicker. It is an exciting season for the church. I heard there's going to be a correlation, or they're working on correlation between Russia and China, Gog and Magog, and the army of 200 million that will march down the Euphrates River for the Great Tribulation period. What an exciting time. Some people are freaking out. I'm going, yes. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I said, Jesus is coming soon. So we've got to get out of our head religiosity. God has never been into religion. God is, in fact, he says it very clearly in the book of Isaiah. He says, I hate your new moon feasts. I hate your festivals. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. What is he saying? Who created the feasts? God did. Who created the festivals? God did. But God said this, something changed inside of you. It used to be something that you gave back to me, and you honored me with your heart. You honored me with your mouth. You honored me with your life. But now it's just a festival. Now there's no heart behind it. He says, so I hate even the religion. What I desire is, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. God is building a house. He's building a household of people. He's not building a religious organization. Can I hear an amen? So our striving this year, and I pray that the wisdom of God overtakes us, is to get the mindset of church out of your head. I love my family. We do family breakfast every Friday. I said this a few weeks ago. We do Sunday afternoon lunches all together. Since Pastor Ron has moved on to glory, we have literally spent every single day together in some capacity. I love my family. It is important to me that my family and I are very, very close. But can you imagine if every time you go, it is not about family, it is just about, yeah, I saw you. Yeah, I showed up, didn't I? I showed up. Yeah, I showed up for you. Come on, it stops being about what God called it to be, and that's family. Being in a house is far more. Now, listen, I get ticked, and this is where I get bothered. I get bothered if my kids call me and say, I can't show up on Friday. What do you mean you can't show up on Friday? Now, I might not be saying it out loud, but now they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saying it inside. What do you mean you can't show up on Friday? This is happening every single week. This is not like we made this thing up this Friday. You have an appointment. You have an appointment to be with the family in the house. And we've come to a place in America church where now the average churchgoer goes every 3 weeks. And what's happened is it shows me we have forgotten that this is the house of God. This is not a religious institution. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And until there's a shift back, then there'll never be true loyalty to the house. It will always be just showing up and saying, God, I did you a favor. I showed up in your home. See, there has to be a shift, especially in these last days, because people are hungry to know God. But they can actually feel an atmosphere when you walk into a house. If you walk into a house where the husband and wife are at odds, you can actually feel it before you hear it. And when you come to a church and the house of God is about a bunch of people visiting, amen, and no one being part of the house, amen, then they can feel, yeah, that's just another church. But when you walk into a house of God and everybody understands that this is about God's home. Right. Come on now. Now we are the house of God. Amen. I'm not saying that he does not dwell in places made with hands. He dwells in us. But whether you like it or not, God has always had a house where he gathers people together. And it's there, the corporate anointing. Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing that flows down over the head of Aaron, down over his beard, down over his cloak, down to his feet. And it's there that God commands the blessing. You see, the corporate anointing is something that is so exciting. In fact, the more I've been, listen now, I've spent mornings are rough for me right now. And so in my mornings, I'm smart. I'm putting on like 700 Club near-death experience stuff. And I'm reading two books right now on some people that have gone to heaven and Jesse Duplantis' vision of heaven. And I'm listening to all of that stuff because I want to know the atmosphere my wife's in. Amen. And let me tell you, the atmosphere right now in heaven isn't everybody just going to do their own thing. The atmosphere in heaven is it's a family up there. The atmosphere in heaven is that everybody's together, and when Jesus shows up, come on now, when Jesus comes on in the scene, everybody's running up. The babies are running up. Oh, I kept hearing that all the time. The children are running up, jumping on Jesus' lap. Why? Because they know where it's at, man. They know where it's at. So we've got to have a shift in our mindset, and that's what this whole year is about. This Built Different was way before we knew what was going on with Pastor Rhonda in the capacity that it was at. This is God's plan to bring his family back to understanding that this is important, that we must get past the religious mentality. We have got to get back to being part of the household of faith. We have got to get part of doing the housework. And not being just a visitor. Now, listen, it's one thing. Now we all know, anybody here, the Bible tells us to be hospitable. And I'm a very hospitable person. My wife is far more than I am. But I'm a hospitable person. And if you say to me, you know, Pastor, I really need to come over and just talk to you. Now, listen, don't do that right now because I'm going to say no to you. It's just the way it is. But my hospitality is on hold for just a moment. But it's not strange at my house to have 20-some-odd people on a Sunday. Not strange. My wife cooked meals for up to 27, 28 people every Sunday while the kids were in high school. Now, I love hospitality, but if someone shows up on Sunday afternoon to eat, I'm good. They show up on Monday, I'm all right. Show up on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, get your own house. I'll give you money. Go somewhere else. Why? Because when you're a guest for an elongated period of time, it gets irritating. In fact, the book of Proverbs talks about it. The book of Proverbs says if you're a guest that long, you lose favor. And what's happened is a lot of people in the body of Christ have lost favor. Why? Because you've remained a guest and not a member of the house. And this year, there has to be a shift. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I said, there's got to be a shift. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And every family is built on something. What is a family? It's a close-knit group. Sometimes it's blood, sometimes it's not. You know, it doesn't have to be blood to be considered family. All two of you said amen. I said, it doesn't have to be blood to be considered family. Amen. Pastor Andrea is Grammy AO to all of the grandchildren. She is Pastor Andrea, maybe to you, but she is Grammy AO to us. Now, we don't have the same blood. Should I say color? We're not the same color, but we are the same family. She is my sister. She is my family. And you see, we've got to come back to this mentality that God has created that religion has deviated from. And the deviation is powerful. The deviation is purposeful. The deviation is diabolical. Why is the deviation in that capacity? Well, because when you're no longer part of a house, you have no interest in a house, you're just a visitor to try to scarf something off. And it's time to get away from, well, what do we call that? Spiritual welfare. Time to get away from spiritual welfare and be part of the house. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I said, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But every house is established on specific things, and you can always see it in the family. Some people have asked us, how in the world are all your kids serving the Lord and they're all in the ministry? How is that possible? It was purposed.
Amen.
It was not accidental. Now, I grew up in a home, and my mom is in the room right now. There's my mom. Mom, wave at everybody. Everybody's staring at you. Don't worry about it. I love my mom. My mom served the Lord. My dad did not serve the Lord. Our house was filled with tension. If he wasn't barraging my mother, he was barraging me about a spirituality. It was a very tough environment. Now, my dad was brought up in a home where I loved my grandmother and my grandfather. But my grandfather wasn't around much. And every time they would move to it, my grandfather would move, the family would move, then my grandfather would move again. Until Massachusetts. And so here we are. Our family didn't say, I love you much. You didn't get a lot of hugs from Dad. Is there anybody out there this morning? Mostly old schoolers know what I'm talking about. Hopefully the old schoolers learn that they don't have to do that to the young schoolers. Say amen.
Amen.
And so I made a decision. Now, my wife grew up in a home that was definitely a challenge. You know, one of these days we're going to, in fact, it's going to be in the new book. I'm going to be writing a book for her, and it's going to be Get Up, Dress Up, Show Up. And when you understand what that woman went through, she had RH factor when she was born. The devil's been trying to kill her since she was born. And then she was sexually molested by her own father, from the age of 4 to the age of 11. And I want you to know something. She went through hell and back. But she and I made a decision that we're going to raise our children different. That house is going to be so saturated with love. I remember my children telling me, please stop telling me you love me. Chad said to me one day, do you always have to say that? Yes. Why? Well, because I refuse to allow my children to experience a foundation because I choose to be generational.
Amen.
And in the generations, I want the house of the families of the Spencers, to perpetuate through generations and every child know that they are loved beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I believe in them, that I know that they can do whatever God has for them to do, and that they have divine purpose, not just here on earth, but also in heaven.
Amen.
1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we, I love that part, and that is what we are. Exclamation point. Don't you love that? He said, we're his children. And then he says, that's just who you are. But the problem is because we have all grown up in different homes. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know, do we have a skit or don't have a skit? Okay, move on. Every house has a foundation. And every one of you grew up in one of these. Ready? You either grew up in a home that was saturated with love from a mother and a father, or you grew up in a home that was filled with hatred, self-indulgence, and selfishness. Those really are the only two foundations that you're going to build a house on. And the challenge is the house that we grew up in is really how we live and usually perpetuate to our next generation. You only know what you know. Our first few years of marriage, she says 4, I say 2, were very challenging because I was a horrible husband. I grew up in an environment where my dad and I have a great relationship, so I'm not talking, I don't hate my dad. My dad and I talk every single day. But my dad was not brought up in a household where the dad showed love, and he definitely didn't show love. And I was a male chauvinist pig, genuine. Rhonda, shut up. Get to the kitchen. Make me some food. If she was sitting right there, she'd go like this. But I was that way because that's what I knew. What I knew was somebody was going to do what they were going to do, and it didn't matter what anybody else was going to do. And the problem is that you and I, as seeing the house of God, you and I, as seeing who God is, if we literally parallel him with our parent that's on this planet, we could have a true, genuine disfigurement of who God actually is in our life. And if this is the household of faith, and we have a disfigurement of mindset of who God actually is, then we will come to the house of the Lord, and it will have meaningless design to it because we don't comprehend his genuineness and how he truly loves us. But this is what we've got to get back to, that God is love. Can I hear an amen? That God is love. Some of you grew up in bad homes. You grew up in an unloving house, an uncaring home. Some of you grew up in abusive homes, whether it was sexual abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, or just simply neglect. I just saw not too long ago, a parent was arrested because their child was covered with fecal matter outside in the snow. Some of you grew up in unstable homes. Not that I watched Dr. Phil. But back in the 80s when he was on Oprah, I watched the show, and he said this. He said, the most vicious thing a parent can do is have horrible fights in front of their children. Because there is no other stable environment in the world for a child than in the house. So when the parents are at each other's throat, when the parents are hating each other, the only and the last true boundary and place for sanctity, solidity, and stability is now uprooted in their life. And I swore to God that wasn't going to happen in our house. Although I did have a few times that they would yell from the back, stop screaming at each other. I said, we're not screaming. We're just having a very vivacious discussion. Some of you grew up in homes that the parents didn't teach you anything. They just couldn't wait for you to get out of the house. They didn't teach you how to be successful. Listen, I'm so proud of my children. I am. All my kids got their own home. I remember Corinne went for her own home back when she was 18 years old. She had saved money to buy her first house at 18 years old. Went to the bank, and the bank said, you can't get a loan. You don't have any credit. You got to go get a car loan and a credit card. How stupid is that? You got money, but it doesn't matter if you got money. And so all my kids got their own house. How did they get their own house? Because now their mother's the financial lady. I'm a little fearful right now as I've been doing finances for 1 month. I have to sit with Miss Carla as quickly as possible. But I remember my wife sat down with the children and taught them finances. Some of you grew up in a home, your parents never taught you anything. They might have taught you how to smoke weed. Come on, some of you grew up in an alcoholic home. Some of you grew up in a drug addiction homes. Some of you grew up in the neglectful homes where your parents, listen, we had a girl from a youth group go home one night, and I remember, I don't remember who it was or anything, but I just remember this. She said, my mom made those, you know, those pops that you put down, you put the little popsicle stick in, you pour it in, you freeze it, you know, and it was made out of liquor. She said, I just wish I came home from youth group that my mother had made something that was good and not liquor. It's amazing to me the homes that some of us have grown up in, and we sit back, and what we don't grasp is that God's house is not the same as the house you grew up in, wherever you were, whatever your parents represented, no matter what they did to you. You've got to know that God the Father is not the same. And when he says you are a member of the household of God, we have to have a transition. We have to have a metamorphosis. We have to have, come on, our minds renewed to make sure we understand who God is. Because until we understand who God is, then the foundation of his house cannot be laid. And if the foundation cannot be laid, then you just come and visit. Well, it's good entertainment. You got some guy jumping around. You got good lights. Good band. And someone babysits your kids. You don't even need to put a dollar in the plate. Can't beat that. But it's different when you understand what this house represents. church was not created by a man, it was created by God. And even though man has screwed it up well, we have to get back to the divine architectural drawings that God the Father drew up and Jesus Christ was the head engineer over. We've got to get back to understanding that the foundation of what the household of God is the foundation who God is. And God is love. I said, God is love. I said, God is love. And God is passionate about you. Well, you know, nobody likes me. And that might be true. And there might be issues that we need to work through with you. But even though everybody else might have an issue, Jesus still loves you. His love is unchanging. His love is unconditional. Do you realize what that means? That means, now listen now, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Condemnation is one of the greatest things that comes against us and is demonic to try to keep you from genuine love. But I've got great news for you. God can't love you any more right now than he did when you were sleeping around, when you were a drug addict, when you were a drunk, when you were foul, when you were a mess. God can't love you anymore. God can't love you any less. His love is secure. His love is unconditional. Jesus loves you. God is faithful. God is passionate. God's love is visionary. God's love is correctional. That's always the one you got to pause at. Everybody likes all the other ones. They don't like that one. God's love's correctional. Do you realize that God says if you're not corrected as a child, you're no more than a bastard? What's a bastard? That's King James Version. It's really the only swear word I can use from behind the pulpit biblically. Besides that, we're talking about a donkey. What is a bastard is one that is a fatherless child. You see, Jesus taught us to pray. Our God who art in heaven. Is that how he taught us? Our God who art in heaven. No, he changed things. He wanted to be personal. Because God is personal. Because God does care about you. Because God loves you, genuinely loves you. He said, our Father. I love when Jesus prays in John 17. He says, Father, I love that. You see, because until we grasp this, then church truly can't have the meaning that God created it to be. It is really only a religious institution. You go to church? No, baby, I go home. Dad prepared breakfast this morning. Come on now. I know there's going to be a good breakfast this morning. And I know Dad's going to show up this morning. I know he's going to be in the house. And I just love being around my dad. Now, my daughter, I love my daughter. She's becoming her mother. No, the other day she sent me a post. What do you think about this post? I said, it looks good, Rhonda. She's calling me. Are you eating? Trying to keep my boy's figure. Are you eating? Do you need anything? Do you want me to bring you anything? I love my family. I love them because they truly care. Do you know what's amazing to me? Is that until you really grasp that, then God is just a dude you visit and get you out of hell. But he never becomes your father. And I think that's extremely sad. Now, I don't always like what my dad does. I don't always agree with my dad. I'll say this now. This Thursday night, Rock Solid Faith, whatever questions you have about Pastor Rhonda, about her dying, about her living, about whatever it is, I'm going to answer any question you want to answer this Thursday night at Rock Solid Faith at 7 p.m. So whatever question you want to bring. I'm telling you something. I don't get how people do this without knowing the Father. I can't fathom how they lay it. One guy said, I was listening to a book. It's called Widowers for Widowers. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And you can tell the dude's not saved. He said, you should leave your job for 3 months and be alone. I would kill myself. I would be so depressed. I need you. I need the anointing. Somebody said to me, you preached last week. It was the day after she died. How could you preach? How could I not preach? It's in the anointing that the joy of the Lord is. It's in the anointing that the presence of the Lord is. It's in the anointing that hope is rebirthed. It's in the anointing that God's love is manifested. It's in the anointing that the power of God is released. It's in the anointing. But you see, if he's just a dude, then you don't get it. And you see, what's happened is that's the diabolical plot. Got a lot of folk that go to church but are completely disconnected with the house. So therefore, they are disconnected with Father.
Well, I can still go to heaven and not go to church.
Yes and no. You don't need church to go to heaven, but you need church for family. You need church to be equipped, brought to unity, brought to maturity. You need church to have a spiritual father that represents Father God in heaven. Paul said it. You have not many fathers, but you have 10,000 teachers. So we've come to this place in the church world that until we start grabbing again who God is and the love that he carries for his family, then we're truly disconnected. We truly don't grasp it. You know, I remember, and I hope you don't mind me saying this stuff, but it's important to me, and I think this part of healing as well. I remember at 3 a.m. when her respiration changed, and I, as you've read it, I told her to go home, and I'd meet her at the rock with Jesus. And I remember when she took her last breath at 5:04. And I went up and I told the boys, my boys had stayed with me that night. And I went and told them their ma had gone home to be with Jesus. And I said, we're going to wait 2 hours before we call anybody. So we waited 2 hours. And what was I waiting for? I was only waiting for one thing. I was waiting for him to say, hey, you had a good visit. Go home. That didn't happen. And the more I'm studying, the more I'm reading is, I get it. Why would you want to be here compared to where Jesus is? Amen. Why would you want to be here compared to heaven? Amen. Man, when you get to heaven, man, you're just going to be going, come on now. This took a long time. Not that I'm going to die. I like life. I know I got purpose. But the fact is that we waited those 2 hours. And then at the funeral home, my wife made me promise I would not try to raise her from the dead. She made me promise. I'm not lying. She said, I want your word. So we're at the funeral home, and I said to the funeral director, I says, where is she? He said, well, you know, she's in the cooler. I says, pull her out of the cooler for a little bit and zip down the bag because I want to see her face. And so I went to the room, and I said, all right. You got a minute. In the name of Jesus, get back here. And I looked. Nope. All right, let's move forward. Why? Because I'm telling you, she's in the full presence of love. There is nothing that she's ever experienced before. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little jealous. The more I read, the more I hear the stories, the more I read the books, and I know the Bible. But when people have gone there and come back, the one thing they say is, the first time you see Jesus, he's dressed in white. And the light that comes from him, he doesn't even talk. The light that comes from him embraces you with a love that you have never experienced before in your entire life. And I didn't find one of them that said, hey, can I go back? Every one of them said, please don't make me go back. I want to stay. I can worship you forever. I'm telling you. The problem with the church world at large right now is we come in and we sing our songs. We do our nice little religious thing. We throw George in the plate, pacify God. We hear a guy jumping around at the pulpit. That's why you come here and not to the quiet church. And it means nothing. You don't get the true absorption of him loving you. And that's the revelation that has to happen in our lives. The reason why people can come and go from churches so often, disappear, walk away from God, it's not that God isn't good, but they didn't get it. Because if you really grasp God and you grasp how much he loves you, you can't wait to be around him. You can't wait to be around people that want to be around him. You can't wait to lift your hands in worship. You can't wait for the music to start because you already started. You already started. Listen, I love waking up with a song in my spirit. Ever before my mouth opens or my brain engages, I'm already singing in my spirit. Why? Because the Holy Ghost dwells inside of me, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning with a song already bubbling in my heart. I got up this morning, and I finally got out of bed because it was cold in that basement. I got out of bed at like 6 o'clock, and man, I ran upstairs, and that song was still in my heart. Why? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of me. And who's the spirit of God? But he is the spirit of Christ. Who's the spirit of Christ? But the Son of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet one. And I can get in the presence of God and be renewed and refreshed in love. I love coming to this house. I love coming to this church, not because I'm the pastor, but because I love being in his presence. And I love being in his presence with you. Listen now. You're going to have to spend the rest of eternity with each other. You might as well get used to this. Or some of you might not. Wake up on the wrong side thinking you were all right. But you just treated God as the escape theory, not as the father of the house. Ooh, come on now, say amen. See, love is powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we all know the verse. They read it at every wedding. You know what's amazing about this verse? Is you can't have agape love unless you know agape. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can't have God's kind of love. And so when you get saved, what that means is now it's not the love that you can muster. It's the love that he has coming out of you. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. So all of a sudden, you've got something bursting out of you because of who is in you. You see, without him being in you and without you recognizing him inside of you, because you become the temple of the Holy Ghost, then ultimately all you're doing is you're playing religion and you're going to lose. But when you have a true understanding that the one who created the heavens and the earth and the one who genuinely loves you, for God is love, dwells inside of you, and he believes in you, then that same love that he has will come out of you. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the word fruit there means attributes or characteristics. The very character of God is love. For God is love. Never gives up. Love cares more for others than for themselves. Whoop, are we in America? Well, you know, I just wanted to relax in bed this morning. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I get you. It's more about you than it is about the person you're supposed to come to church and be an encouragement to. Oh, that's right. Come on. Well, it's cold, but you go to work. Well, you know, they offended me. That means you're not going to heaven. Because if you can't come to this house because you're offended by them, then how will you ever go to that house? What are you going to live on the other side of heaven? No, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. That don't mean you're going to like everybody. There's people distinctly I don't like. But I love them. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't want what others what it doesn't have. It doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of sins of others. Well, you know, I remember. Oh, really? So does Jesus. He remembers you. Come on now. Come on, I love what Christ said. You without the sin, you can cast the first one. Ain't nobody in this room, come on, that can throw the stone. The only one that could throw the stone didn't. Ooh, that was free. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. My wife, glory. Trust God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back. Keeps going to the end. Love never fails. Do you know what every one of us in this room need? More love. Every one of you, every person in this room, everyone watching on live stream, everyone that's going to watch us on television, you know we all want the same exact thing. We all want someone to love us. We all want someone to accept us. And we want them to be genuine. Come on, you've been around the disingenuous people that say they love you. They placate, pacify. They can't wait to leave your presence. But when you get around somebody, come on now, that truly loves you, even if they don't like what you're talking about, they're engaged because you're engaged. They love you. There's got to be a revelation of love because that is the foundation of God's house. When people walk in these doors, they have got to feel the tangible love of Jesus. Or else it's not God's house, it's just a religious organization. They've got to walk in here and they've got to feel and know that people genuinely care about them. Amen. All they want is your money. Then keep your money. If that's your issue, put your money in your pocket. Because God's the source of this house, you're not. You don't make that much money that it's going to make that much difference. I had a man once leave here, and he goes, this church will collapse because I'm taking my tithe. And I said, well, God's pretty bad, isn't he? So he left, and the tithes went up $2,000 a week. Glory to God. Never relied upon people. And if you're using that as your excuse, that's just an excuse. And it's really, if you get down to it, it's because of where you came out of. But until you identify where you come out of, you can't change where you're going. Amen. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you don't recognize you're a sinner, the Bible says that for all have sinned. And if you say that you haven't sinned, then God, you're a liar, the Bible says in 1 John. So you got to identify that you're a sinner. You need salvation. If you can't identify that, you can't move forward. We've got to identify that how you are representing yourself in the house of God, how you view God's house, how is that? Does your wife have to drag you on the way to church on Sunday morning? Is this like a chore to come to church? Is it like, let's sit in the far back so if we can, we can escape? Or maybe you're just slowly backsliding. You used to sit in the front, now you're on your way back. The point comes to this. That has nothing to do with the church. That has to do with how you view God as the father of the house. He's either a good father, filled with love and acceptance and joy, filled with your betterment in his design, or I just went to church. This year we got to shift it. There are too many people not going to heaven, not to shift this. And it can't start from the pastor only. It's got to be the body. Because I'm not at the front door. I might be on the driveway, not this morning, -9. But I might be on the driveway every other morning waving at people because I want them to see that their pastor loves them. I don't have to be out there. I don't know any other pastors that are out there. That's stupid. The only time I'm not out there is when it's thunder and lightning or -9. But I'm out there because I love you. I want you to see my face in that big furry hat that Steve got me. Because I want you to know that the foundation of this house is not a pastor standing up and preaching on a Sunday morning. Because I can preach anywhere. And baby, I can preach all over. Because that's not a problem getting invitations. The issue is not about preaching. God has sent me in this location. Why? Because he said, I want them to know that I love them. I'm going to send you people that everybody else will reject. But I'm going to send them to you. Because grace and mercy will be the driving factor of the house. You see, it's time to know that God loves you. And God's house, it must be filled with love. That is why we're built different from a religious church. And if that's not going to be established, then we might as well close the doors, because they're already closed on the one who is love. The day that he has to do this: behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. I want to remind you, he wasn't talking to sinners. He was knocking on the door of the church of Laodicea. They had extracted him from the sanctuary. So what was driving them but religion? Are you religious? Do you really know the God of love? Do you really know that he loves you? That's what's getting me through. I know he loves me. I don't like some of the things that have happened. How can I be who I am right now? It's simple. Because I know him. I don't know about him. And it's not because I'm a preacher. I know God. And because I know him, even though I cry, ugly cry, even though at times I struggle, even though at times I question, I know this. I know he loves me. He's got a phenomenal plan for me. I know he loves Rhonda, and he loves having her with, because there's nobody in this room. Listen now, I love you all, but I've never met a more God lover than my wife. Now, in some places, you have to make up stories about people to make them look good. I got to make no stories. That woman loved God with every fiber of her being. I mean, every fiber of her being. And he loves having her there. And she'll just meet me on the rock, under the tree, by the creek. And then we'll love them together in the North Country. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. I need you to ask yourself a genuine question. I mean that. Here's the problem.
Well, you know, it's 10:32 already. We should have been done 10 minutes ago.
Do you genuinely know that God loves you? Or are you just religious? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or nothing. This is something you've got to ask yourself. And I got you here. You've heard the message. Faith has already been risen, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So now you can ask yourself this genuine question. Ask yourself, honest, be honest. Do I know that God loves me? It's an old song. It's an old song. I'm going to try to sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know. Give me a key. Jesus, go down one. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Sing it one more time. Now listen now. It's not about your voice. Do you really believe this? Ready? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, that's it right there. Any human love that you experience is always temporary. Any human love that you have can be strenuous and hurtful. But the love that Jesus has for you, the reason he died on the cross for you, is so that you could know that he genuinely loves you unconditionally. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you'd like him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. His name is Jesus. I'm not going to wait long. Five, get your hand right up in the air. Thank you very much. I see that hand. Yes, thank you. Four, come on, get your hand up. Three, oh, come on now. Two, last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. If you raise your hand for salvation or need to get right with God, Mindy's right here. Hey, you're wearing your mother-in-law's shoes. Those are sharp. Those are yours. This is hers. There's residual anointing on that stuff. If you raise your hand for salvation or didn't, or you know you're not right with God, man, don't be crazy enough to leave this building knowing you're not right with God. That's not bravery, that's stupidity. To place your eternity on that mark is craziness. So if you raise your hand for salvation, Mindy's right here. If you didn't raise your hand but you still want to come up, Mindy's right here. And everybody else, just lift your hands to heaven. I want to release the anointing of God. I declare in the name of Jesus the covenant of heaven. I declare in Jesus' name over His Tabernacle Family Church and the folks that you give me authority over. I declare that nobody is going to walk away from you. I declare your blood is stronger than the world. Your blood is stronger than sin. I declare, God, that they'll fulfill the very purpose of their life while they're here on this earth. I declare there is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no maiming. There is no wounding. There are no growths. There are no spirits of infirmity. And I take authority over pain in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare we'll prosper in good things even as our soul prospers. God will be whole in our soul. And God will have so much money, the world's going to stare at us and say, I think I need to get to know your God. Lord, we thank you for all you've done in our lives, and we bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement, shout it! I love you. Serve God with all of your